A century ago, black musicians in the classical music space were rare, as were recordings of their work. That is why the survival of more than two dozen of those recordings was so noteworthy. They've been restored and released as a collection called Black Swans. Today, we are revisiting a conversation our co-host Audie Cornish had about the remarkable existence of these recordings.
The year is 1919. World War I has wrapped up, but in cities around the U.S., black military veterans are facing white racial violence. Riots break out in cities from Chicago to Knoxville. It came to be known as the Red Summer. And this is the backdrop to the work of Clarence Cameron White, a violinist and composer from that time. This recording from later that year is rare for many reasons. Its age, its clarity, his musicianship. But it's also rare because many classical music performances from this time by black artists, recorded by black music labels, were thought to be lost to history. This year, a collection of that music has been restored and released. More than two dozen recordings of black classical musicians from that period. It's called Black Swans. We spoke to Professor Saiz Kamaladeen of Howard University about them. He says that considering the obstacles facing these artists, it's a wonder we can listen to these recordings at all.
We're talking about a time period when Jim Crow in a lot of the states was in full effect, absolute segregation. So the idea that these people would take on the mantle of being a culture carrier for Western European art music was very, very unusual, that they would have the courage, number one, and they would choose to do that when, if you had musical talent, you'd be pushed into the jazz or blues direction, and in some cases, discouraged from doing Western European art music because, you know, who was going to be there to support your career? What would your audience be other than your travel to Europe?
When we think about that period, as you said, Jim Crow, racial violence against black Americans in particular, it's kind of mind-boggling that people found the capital, right? Access to capital and the will to start a label, so to speak, because just having access to the equipment, all that sort of thing, could not have been easy. Were people trained in mostly through black colleges and universities? Sort of where did this come up?
We owe primarily what we have in these recordings today to two people more than others, George W. Broom from Massachusetts, Medford, Massachusetts, and Harry Pace with the Black Swan label. To do what they did with rudimentary equipment, needless to say, it wasn't the finest that was available even at that time, and to decide to put this kind of music, Western European art music, so-called classical music, out in the public to even have some idea of breaking even financially, was bold and brave in a way that is hard to describe. They're making multiple statements with this attempt. They are making a statement of, this is great art, these are great artists, they need to be respected and need to be known more widely. But this is also a business that we are entering into that should gain respect for the African-American business person at that time. We want in, we're going to be in, and so somebody has to break the ice.
I want to talk about Florence Cole Talbert, because she actually made recordings for two of the labels that are here, Broom and Black Swan. She is singing very difficult music. Can you talk about it? A bell song?
She's a coloratura soprano, and both her parents were specialist singers. Her father was a bass, and her mother sang concert music also. It was almost destined for her to have the exposure and the training that she had to do what she did. She became world famous, but once again, because of the lack of recording and some of the racial challenges that were faced, her career was not what it could have been if she had not been African American.
What do you think was significant about her voice?
The clarity of her voice, a wonderful upper register. She was known as the first lady of the Grand Opera, but she was very, very famous for just having accuracy with pitch. Everything about her was first rate.
One of the people with one of the longest and most successful careers, the names on this disc, is Roland Hayes. And there was a series of private releases in 1917. He performed for many years. Can you talk about his musical style, what we're hearing, and his influence?
Roland Hayes was a lyric tenor, did operatic excerpts, very, very skillful in his use of his voice. The recordings made during his prime, he was as good as anyone. Roland Hayes was the person who first started including the concert spiritual in his recitals. Today, as an African-American singer, you would almost dare not do a recital and don't include the concert spiritual. And to think that Roland Hayes is the person who set the standard for that is very, very profoundly important to me.
Well, Professor Saiz Kamaldeen, thank you so much for speaking with us and enjoying this music with us. I can tell that you get a lot of energy out of it.
It's tremendous. This was a project that was long overdue. I'm just thankful to have this opportunity to talk about it. And maybe if even a few people will get this recording, enjoy it, care to learn more about these great artists, I think the quote from Grace Bumbry on the front cover says it all. They'll never be sorry.
Saiz Kamaldeen, professor of music at Howard University. Black Swans is a collection of recordings of Black classical artists from more than 100 years ago.